RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo released new economy package in December. Finance Ministry and intelligence agency hunt taxpayers. Minister Sopian Jalil urges lower birth day to support development. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo said on Thursday that the government will release the second economy policy package in early December. After attending the CEO Forum at Jakarta Convention Center on Tuesday, he said that he refused to reveal the content or the main focus of the seventh package. However, he believes that the new package will be well implemented by minister and lower officials. He added that the central government could continue to ensure the implementation of each economic package by immediately addressing any issues related with the previous packages. Earlier Coordinating Economic Minister Secretary Lukita Dinarsyah said that the seventh economic policy package was related to tax incentives for labor-intensive industries. In late September, the government provided tax incentives for a number of industries. It said the labor-intensive industry. On Monday, Coordinating Economic Minister Darmi Nasution said that the negative investment list, DNI, would be one of focuses in the new economic package. Finance Minister and State Intelligence Agency BIN have signed MOU on tax security and early warning tax revenue. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that his side focuses on tax and customs. He also stated that the MOU will help increase effectiveness and secure tax revenue. He added BIN side will give support in the area that requires their expertise. BIN Chief Suti also said that his agency has the authority to check one's personal bank account. Suti also said that BIN is in the 34 provinces. His side can coordinate with the regional tax offices. BIN will also cooperate with other agencies such as the Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Center, PPATK, the Police and Attorney General Office. National Development Planning Minister Sopian Jalil said Indonesia needs a paradigm shift, including a reduction in the birth rate to support national development. He said on Tuesday, if Indonesia makes too many children without producing sufficient resources to support them, Indonesia will create a disaster. He said the roots of the Arab Spring, Islamic State terrorism and some tragedies in African countries are driven by young people that have aspiration but don't have jobs. Among ASEAN countries, Indonesia has the fourth highest fertility rate at 2.34. The three with higher rates are the Philippines, 3.04, Laos, 3.02, and Cambodia, 2.86. Indonesia's rate since 2000 has been stagnant at 2.3 to 2.5. Minister Sopian said during the opening ceremony of the 2016-2020 Indonesia United Nations Partnership for Development Framework, UNPDF, that alleviating poverty could be accomplished in easy way, by just keeping help from the rich to the poor, and the poverty rate would come down. But that would be merely a temporary solution. People would become dependable on the help later. He affirmed that Indonesia needs to develop entrepreneurs who can create more jobs. Poverty alleviation is one of the key issues of the UNPDF. Next to access to social services and social protection, environmental sustainability and climate change mitigation, and good governance and equitable access to justice. Chief of the National Narcotics Agency, BNN, Commissioner General Budi Waseso said that he is likely to opt Madura for his ideal medieval narcotics prison. He mentioned that the prison will be heavily fortified and surrounded by crocodiles and piranhas. The island he was referring is located in Kangean Islands, Sumenep East, Java. This contradicts his previous statement that the island will be on the outer rim of Indonesia. He also pointed out that BNN has already possessed an all correctional facility. General Budi Waseso added that he will send a team to take care of the facility, asking the law and human rights ministries. Indonesian Trade Minister said that the country's imports of raw sugar reached 2.64 million tons until mid-November this year. The imports until mid-November were up to 3.1 million tons, equivalent to 2.92 million tons of double refined sugar licensed by the government for this year. Trade Minister Thomas Lembon told the lawmakers in a working meeting on Tuesday that imports were licensed on recommendation of the industry ministry. The raw sugar is used to feed producers of double refined sugar, which is needed by food and beverage processing industries. Minister Thomas said the imports were smaller than import quota of 3.13 million tons, or equivalent to 2.94 million tons of double refined sugar set in December 2014 by the Trade Minister. Industry Minister and Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Peggy PM, for 2015. Licenses were issued for the imports of 451,000 tons of raw sugar as a basic material for monosodium glutamate, MSG, but imports until November 12 total only 316,000 tons. Indonesia as a host country is dreaming of a victorious finish in the upcoming World Rafting Championship WRC 2015 on the Citarik River in Sukabumi, West Java. The competition is set to run from November 29 to December 8. WRC race director Amalia Yunita said that she was always dreamed of witnessing Indonesia to become the winner. She said hosting the event is simply the best opportunity to reach the dream. The upcoming WRC is in the rafting 6 category with 6 rafters per boat. As many as 650 rafters in men's and women's divisions from 24 countries including Brazil and Costa Rica are listed in the 73 groups. The championship is divided into open, master, or above 40 years old, under 19 and under 23 classes. As independents, the championship offers sprints, 300 meters head-to-head, 8 to 12 kilometers, and slalom. Each participating country is only allowed to deploy one group for every event. Indonesia will be represented by 49 rafters in 7 groups throughout the events, apart from the master class in the women's division. Indonesian senior men's team captain Abu Hanifah said that he was keeping his head down, despite the privilege of representing the host country. Tourism Minister Arifaya said the government would support such championship to promote tourism in Indonesia. The last item, hackers had been attacking several government websites every day and improved security measures are needed to deal with that threat. This was affirmed by Major General Joko Setiadi, head of the National Inscription Agency, or Lemsanek, on Tuesday. He said that there were around 20 to 50 government websites using the go.id domain attacked by hackers every day. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he said that this is the biggest challenge in implementing e-governance. It takes information security systems that can fulfill the security requirements and provide integrity, authenticity, secrecy and safety. Previously, President Joko Widodo called for further implementation of e-government to support a more effective bureaucracy. To answer the challenges, Lemsanet, as the agency responsible for the implementation, launched Digital Certification Authorization, OSD, an independent cryptology equipment on Tuesday with the aim of supporting e-government implementation in the ministerial offices, government institutions and regional administrations. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Turkey Shooting Down Russian Jet, Syria Getting Caught It. Syrian problem is getting far away from resolution. The shooting incident of the Russian jet fighter launched by Turkey in the Turkish-Syrian border region makes the situation in Syria getting more chaotic. Russian President Vladimir Putin was furious over the incident. In a statement, he suspected that Russia was smashed from behind by Turkey and considered it as a support to the terrorists. On Tuesday, November 24th, in Ankara, Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan defended the shooting action. He argued that what was launched by Turkey's F-16 against Russian Sukhoi-24 was correspondent with the Turkish military procedures. He added Turkey has the right to protect its territory. This incident worsens the relations between Turkey and Russia, whose perception about Syria is different. Russia supports the regime of Bashar al-Assad that wants to be overthrown by Turkey. One day later, President Erdogan became softer in his statement, saying that Turkey did not want to compete with Russia over the shooting incident. However, he insists on the defense and security of his territory. After the incident, Turkey requested to convene a meeting of member countries of North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, to discuss the shooting. The meeting was intended to make Turkey inform NATO allies related to the shooting against Russian jet fighter. Turkey verified that its two F-16s shut down Russian jet fighter Su-24 that violated the airspace 10 times in Turkey for 5 minutes. Russia denied that its jet fighter was in Syrian airspace. One of the clauses in the Treaty of NATO is that the member states are going to convene if the security of one member state, in this respect Turkey, is under threat. In addition to criticism of President Putin, Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev also accused Turkey being having a financial interest in ISIS. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said in a statement on Wednesday that Russia has no will of fighting against Turkey despite the incident. However, he affirmed that the shooting was a provocation by saying that there is a terrorist group that uses deliberately Turkey's territory as a base to attack other countries. In contrast, the reaction of Turkish Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu on Wednesday was different in Turkish parliament. He tried to ease the tensions by calling on Russia as a friendly country, an important neighbor. To defend the action, he said that Turkish side did not know who meant the Russian jet fighter until a statement of Russia was issued. Turkey, according to Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu, does not want bilateral relations between Russia and Turkey to be disrupted by issues such as miscommunication. Seeing this path, we are hoping that the incident does not trigger any other unexpected ones. Russia and Turkey are expected to find an immediate solution through bilateral diplomatic approach so that the Syrian conflict is not widespread. This path should be the right momentum for all competing parties to sit together and truly resolve the conflict in Syria. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event on November 27, 1940. Tehran Conference discussed on defeating Germany. On November 27, 1940, the leaders of United States, England, and Union Soviet, the three countries occupying Iran, held a conference in Tehran. Conference was held after U.S. was involved in the World War II against Germany. A conference attended by U.S. President Roosevelt, England Prime Minister Churchill, and Union Soviet leader Stalin, the strategy to defeat Germany in the World War II was discussed. After 4-day discussion, the leaders of the countries signed a declaration which consisted of their will to defeat Germany and to leave Iran after the war ended. Listener, we continue with another event on November 27, 1941. Germany loses in tank war against Union Soviet. The war broke out after Germany wanted to occupy Moscow and ignore the peace pact of the two countries. Germany, in a war against Union Soviet, surrounded the capital of Union Soviet during winter. Germany's defeat is one of the important events in the World War II that was followed other defeats during the fights against Union Soviet. We end Today in History with an event on November 27, 1971, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. 5 foreign affairs ministers of ASEAN member countries signed agreement on Zop Fund establishment. ASEAN countries' political cooperation kept developing, both through annual meeting of the foreign affairs ministers and special or unofficial meetings. One of the meetings of Indonesian, Malaysian, Philippines, Singaporean, and Thailand foreign affairs ministers resulted in Kuala Lumpur Declaration on Zone of Peace, Freedom, and Neutrality, or Zop Fund. Zop Fund is an idea to express that ASEAN member countries will keep the region free from foreign intervention and extend cooperation. To prevent foreign intervention or involvement in conflict among superpower countries, regional and domestic security and stability are the main responsibility of the ASEAN members. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back. With me, I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in Focus program. Today's edition features Indonesia and Japan agrees continuing bilateral cooperation. Stay tuned. Listener, Indonesia and Japan agree continuing the cooperation that so far had been really well. House Representative Chairman Setia Novanto with the Chairman of Japan Indonesian Parliament, Lik Tsuhiro Nikai, at the House in Jakarta on Tuesday said the two countries also agree on increasing cooperation in tourism. Besides, the cooperation includes youth and women economy, especially on power plant and defense. Japanese Parliament Chairman Oshima Yamasaki of the Japanese High School and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe admitted the federal role of Indonesia and Japan in the regions, especially in ASEAN and maritime security, regional stability, which must be well maintained. In the meeting, the two also discussed the cooperation on economy and investment, especially on infrastructure and manufacture. Setia Novanto explained the Indonesian House of Representatives is implementing a program leading to modern parliament with the ease of access, information and technology basis, and openness for public. The House Chairman also expressed his gratitude for the recognition for the Japanese government, especially from Emperor Akihito, that the important leadership of both country with historical value must be more actively supported by the parliaments in the future. Related to the issue, President Joko Widodo, during a meeting with 1,100 Japanese officials and delegation in Jakarta on Monday, also mentioned the importance of maintaining relationship with Japan. According to the president, Japan is a strategic partner for the country, both in economy and international society. More overly, a partner for development and peacekeeping. President Joko Widodo sees Japan as advanced in manufacturing industry, so he hopes Japan will invest in the country's transportation and energy. President Joko Widodo also explained Indonesia is a potential partner for Japan, so he is certain that the cooperation will be advantageous for both countries. He hopes Japan-Indonesian relationship can be stronger and want to promote a better relationship in the future. In his meeting with Japanese businessmen in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo awarded the chairman of Japan-Indonesian Parliament League, Toshihiro Nakai, the Bintan Jasa Utama Medal, which means the highest medal of honor in Indonesia, acknowledging their extraordinary contribution for the country. The award was given because Nakai was seen as having great contribution in increasing Indonesian-Japan relationship. Meanwhile, the Investment Coordinating Board, PKPN head, Frankie Sibarani said, visited by 1,100 civil delegations of Japan, welcomed by President Joko Widodo in Jakarta, proved that Indonesia is Japan's most important partner. Among the delegation led by Toshihiro Nakai were delegates consisting of Tsuji were Japanese Economy, Trade and Industry Minister Moto Hayashi with 17 delegates consisting parliament members, including Yamanashi, Ehime and Kochi Prefecture Governors. Frank Sibarani added that most of the 1,100 civil delegates were businessmen, including regional and central government, that see Indonesia as important partner. Frank asserted PKPN will keep actively facilitating and relaxing investment interests of Japan for Indonesia. One of the means taken by PKPN is forming special marketing officer teamed for Japan. Listener, that was Focus today.
Listener, here is the headline of several nations newspaper published today, November 27, 2015. We begin the headline with Kompas, which wrote, Indonesia must be brave to compete. Competition is inevitable in the modern international life. Being closed from the outside is not a solution. Therefore, Indonesia must increase the national competitiveness with many national improvements. President Joko Widodo, on his speech during Kompas CEO Forum in Jakarta today, said the vision is competitiveness because Indonesian economy has long been open. According to the president, the issue often discussed in the international event is the regional and economic integration. There have been many international complaints on the fair and non-fair issues that preventing their products from entering other countries. So the key, according to Joko Widodo, is the competitiveness, efficiency, and easiness in the rulemaking. The president added, the government will join several free trade cooperation schemes. This is important so that Indonesia will not be left behind and lost the opportunity in the global economy. Listener, we continue with Media Indonesia in its headline wrote, Watch the 2016 Global Economic Pressure. Global economic pressure is still happening. The government was asked to anticipate by paying serious attention on the crucial issues in order to improve Indonesian economy. Study result of the Institute for Development of Economic and Finance explained the crucial issue is related to the potential of the global economic uncertainty, especially on the Fed and Chinese economic development that is still predicted to be slowing down next year. Executive Director of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, Eni Sri Hartati, predicted the impact from the external factor will press rupiah exchange rate. She predicted the rupiah next year will be on the level of 14,000 per US dollar. The weakening of Chinese economy, she added, will be very influential to the commodity price. Thus, Indonesian export market reorientation is necessary. The next issue is the possibility of food price hike and pseudo-economic stability, such as deflation in the latest 2 months. According to Eni, deflation indicates that people's purchasing ability is low. We continue with Republika, regional budget absorption low. President Joko Widodo commented on the low regional budget absorption. Until now, the provincial, regency, and city government have 259 trillion rupiah yet to be liquefied. Joko Widodo said, the budget can move people's economy. In the 2015 state budget amendment, the government allocated transfer fund to the regions and village funds respectively 643.8 trillion rupiah and 20.8 trillion rupiah. The president was confused with the low absorption because the fund is available, yet to be used. He added, usually the problem is the money availability, but now it's the opposite. Regarding the low absorption, the president asserted the next year central government will use different means in transferring the fund. The regions with too much money at the bank will receive debt security instead of money. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said the government will give strict punishment for the regional government whose budget absorption is low by transferring the general allocation fund and revenue sharing in the non-cash form next year. Listener, we end today's headline with Business Indonesia. National Intelligence Agency to tap taxpayers. National Intelligence Agency or BIN will conduct taping, fund flow examination and information extraction of the taxpayers to secure the tax income target. The low tax ratio and implication to the shortfall expansion trend or the difference between realization and target of the tax income encouraged the Finance Ministry to work with BIN to make prevention, deterrence and countermeasures of national threat from the tax sector. Head of the National Intelligence Agency, Sutioso, said there will be increase in the detection and early warning to secure the tax income target, which is more than 70% from the total income in the state budget. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo said on Tuesday that the government would release the 7th economic policy package in early December. Finance Ministry and the State Intelligence Agency BIN have signed an MOU on tax security and early warning tax revenue. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said his side focuses on tax and customs. National Development Planning Minister Sofian Jalil said Indonesia needs paradigm shift, including reduction in the birth rate, to support national development. Chief of the National Narcotics Agency, BNN, Commissioner General Budi Waseso said that he is likely to opt to Madura for his ideal medieval narcotics prison. He mentioned that the prison will be heavily fortified and surrounded by crocodiles and piranhas. Indonesian Trade Ministry said the country's imports of raw sugar reached 2.64 million tons until mid-November this year. Indonesia is a host country string of a victorious finish in the upcoming World Rafting Championship WRC 2015 on the Citarik River in Sukabumi, West Java. Hackers had been attacking several government websites every day, and improved security measures are needed to deal with the threat. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit South Sulawesi Province. Stay tuned. Listener, on November 27th until 29th, a festival called Matano Lake Festival is held in East Luwu, South Sulawesi. The festival offers 7 new tourist destinations for the tourists who visit the celebration. The 7 destinations are prepared, namely Matano Water Cave, the Skull Cave, Matano Spring Lake or Burabura, Fort Matano, the Tombs of Matano King, and 4 mini islands. There is another destination, namely Lawa River or the Cold River. Later, the tourists will be invited to visit the 7 of the tourist destinations. The event was aimed to promote the local culture through the Matano Lake Festival. Listener, one of the tourist sites that will be visited during the festival and become one of the main spots in the festival is the Matano Lake. In this edition, we will invite you to know the beauty of Matano Lake. Matano Lake is located on the countryside of Sorowako and surrounded by Verbeck Mountains, which present a beautiful landscape. The lake, with an area of 130 kilometers, is also the 3rd deepest lake in Asia and the 8th deepest lake in the world. In addition, Matano Lake has a different appeal because it is one of the ancient lakes with many endemic species such as bunga crab, shrimp, and freshwater snail inside. Matano Lake is also notable for the existence of ancient fish butini, which in Latin, Glossogobius matanensis. The appeal of this lake also lies on its clear water. You can see many objects thrown into the middle of the 23 meters deep lake. Because of its clean and clear water and calm waves, the lake is often visited as a place for recreation and sport. Interestingly, Matano Lake also has many islands on the surface of the water. In the western part of the lake, there are 4 small islands, while in the southeast, there are 2 small islands, namely Nuhalangkai and Nuhale. And when visiting Matano Lake area, many tourists also visit the Ide Beach. At the beach, there's a 100 meter long wooden dock. At this dock, many tourists sit to enjoy the beauty of Matano Lake. By the way, through this dock also many tourists swim in the lake. Listener, in Matano Lake area, there are Salonsa Beach and butterflies. In here, you will find many butterflies flying around the dengen trees, a local plant. Another appeal from Matano Lake is its underwater cave. It can be seen from above due to the water clarity of Matano Lake. Many tourists visit the place just to take pictures in front of the underwater cave or even dive into the cave using diving equipment. By the way, you can also enjoy the beauty of Matano Lake by renting a boat from the local people. The rental fee per day ranged from 200,000 until 400,000 rupiah, or depending on your bargaining with the boat owner. That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Matano Lake from South Sulawesi Province. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
La Variedad, un programa que presenta las variedades de las informaciones actuales.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Steve, in Miscellany. In today's edition, we introduce you to the new phase of Indonesian film festivals. Actors, actresses, film crews, directors, scriptwriters, producers, and production houses are the ones we call as the movie workers. Indeed, Indonesian movie industry is not always on the top popularity of the country. However, the efforts of Indonesian movie workers to keep developing this industry never stop. Improving the quality, audio, picture, and their stars are the real efforts of the Indonesian movie workers. To appreciate the works, Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, with the movie workers led by Olga Lydia and Lukman Sardi, explained about the 2015 Indonesian Movie Festival, or FFE, which was held in Indonesian Convention Exhibition, or ICE, in Tangerang, Banten, on November 21, 2015. In the middle of the event, Voice of Indonesia team interviewed Rio Dewanto, an Indonesian actor. He said this year's FFE appeared to be fresher with new face.
FFE dengan look dan
we from the movie industry certainly support the FFE with the new look and theme, because this is an appreciation for Indonesian films, so that the people can see that Indonesian film industry cannot be underestimated. But there are many penetrations that Indonesian film can do. Even movie can be a soft power of a nation. It appears that it is the time for Indonesian movie worker to reignite their spirit to keep producing quality movies, because Indonesian movie must be the king in its own land. On the same occasion, Joe Taslim, another Indonesian actor well known from the Hollywood movie industry, expressed his confidence that Indonesian movie industry can be one of the biggest industry in Asia in the next 5 years.
Well, they have to see Indonesia as a very potential country, because the industry is growing so fast, and a lot of talented people here, the directors, actors. So I'm positive the next 5 years, we're going to be probably not small anymore. We're going to be one of the biggest in Asia.
The new phase that refreshes Indonesian film industry can be seen obviously from the 2015 FFE event. The big event, held gloriously like Grammy Award, as if wanted to tell the world that this is what Indonesian movie industry should be. Majestic and burning like the fire that warmed Indonesia with many achievements through the widescreen. Well, listener, that was Miscellany on the new phase of Indonesian Movie Festival. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment introducing you to Indonesian music, original music, either traditional or the modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present to you an Indonesian dangdut singer, Elvi Sukaisi, who is popular in the 70s. Well, listener, before we know further about Elvi Sukaisi, let's listen one of her songs entitled Bayanganmu or Your Shadow. Happy listening. listener Elvis Zukayasi succeeded in the 70s, is one of many dangdut singers in Indonesia. She was born in Jakarta, June 25, 1951. Elvis Zukayasi, the legendary dangdut singer, has a distinct vocal character that cannot be imitated by other singers. This extraordinary perk bestowed her a title, Ratu Dangdut, or the Queen of Dangdut. Her career in Indonesian dangdut music industry arose in the beginning of 1970s. At that time, Elvi became a singer companion to Roma Irama, the King of Dangdut, who leads the Malayan orchestra, Soneta. Elvi, who was already popular in many stages, accepted Roma Irama's offer. Both singers with similar vocal character can hypnotize Indonesian dangdut lovers at that time. Well, listener, let's have one more song of Elvis Zukayasi entitled Tusta or Lie. Enjoy! Listener, albeit no longer young, even in 64 years old on June 25, 2015, Elvis Zukayasi still has hope and patience to be achieved. One wishes of Sekuntum Mawar Merah or a Belt of Red Rose singer was to hold another concert. Elvis Zukayasi said there are several promoters interested in organizing the concert. According to Umi, Elvis' nickname, there will be a duet with contemporary dangdut singers. Also, there will be a combination with the dangdut new singers. If the plan of Elvis Zukayasi and Roma Irama's concert actually succeeded, it will be a very good news for the dangdut fans in the country. As known, Roma Irama and Elvis Zukayasi are dubbed as the best duo in the country. Through a number of hits that they created, they both called us the king and the queen of dangdut Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sedingin Salju or Cold as Snow and Cinta Yang Pudar or The Fading Love by Elvis Zukayasi. Thank you very much for listening and see you next time.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.